Glory to the Lord.
I was overwhelmed in that last song. That hallelujah was coming out of me, and our God is so awesome. His redemptive act, like no other gods do that. Everything else, every other religion requires works to get into there, and he poured out his life. The creator of the universe poured out his life to reconcile you. That should come from the inner. You've been bought and redeemed. That has come from deep inside, that just you want to scream out, hallelujah. Praise his name. Amen. And when you're in the presence of the Lord, there's nothing better than that feeling. It's just amazing. You know what I'm talking about. Would you turn over to Psalm 146? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the name above all names. Father, encounter us right now. Holy Spirit, speak through my lips that Jesus alone, that the word would be magnified and exalted, and it would bring change in us for your kingdom, for your will to be done today. Block out distractions, block out the thoughts that the enemy tries to throw in there, the daggers. That our shield of faith would be lifted up, and that we would allow the sword to help penetrate us, that we could turn around and use it against the enemy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 146, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs and returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, my God, O Zion, to all generations, I say, praise the Lord. The reality is, life is hard. Life is hard. And we have to face it that storms of life come over each and every one of us in different stages. Some of you are in the middle of it right now. You're dealing with things. Sometimes these storms can be anticipated. You can see them from afar off, right? And then sometimes they just kind of come out of nowhere, like those microbursts. And I believe sometimes these storms come into your life to reveal your trust factor.
Amen.
Whom are you trusting in? You know, recently, my wife and I were victims of a crime. And we really have found ourselves in a precarious position. And I've had a lot of emotions swell up about this, and still to this day, I still am dealing with it. And I'm able to look back, and I'm able to see some of my responses were not necessarily in the Lord. I found myself angry. I found myself focused on circumstances, wanting vengeance on the perpetrator. And it also revealed some things in my life to whom I was committing, or not just whom or what I was committing and trusting in, which was not the Lord. I'm not perfect. Jen was very quick to get me redirected which we stopped and prayed in the moment. I had very little sleep that night. I found myself that my patience was very non-existent, even with my children. My attitude was very short the next day. And God continues to do a work in me. I found myself praying to God, asking for justice. But in turn, I found also that the Holy Spirit was working in me and convicting me and led me to pray for the person who committed the crime against us. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that person is a lost person. And their eyes are blinded by the prince of the power of the air. And I prayed that that person would recognize their error, that they would come to know Jesus personally. And I think that's the tension, right? That's the tension of praying for justice, but also that the lost would come to the light, that their deeds would be exposed and they would bend their knee to Christ. And that pivot in asking God for justice, but then also asking for salvation, requires not that I be glorified, but that God is glorified out of the events or trial. And I think you could translate that not only what I'm saying, but also in your storms and your trials in your life, that God is going to be glorified through it and that you got to trust in Him. And I have a few points on that, which is one, you got to keep praising the Lord. Amen. You got to keep praising the Lord. And that's where, I don't know if David wrote this psalm, because it's not identified as a psalm of David, but the psalmist says, praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Every moment, every second, every breath that I have, that I will praise the Lord. And that psalmist reminds us of our focus. We need to be praising the Lord in good and in bad. Amen. In good and in bad.
That's right.
And there's other psalms here. Psalm 113, 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. And listen what the Psalm in 113 says. Verse 3, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
From the rising of the sun till its going down, till its sun sets. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore by him, because of what he's done, we've sang those songs today, because of what he's done, therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. While I have breath in my lungs, I will praise the Lord. That's a sign of steadfastness, and it's a way to bear fruit.
Amen.
That scripture is very powerful.
Yes.
Was I bearing fruit, praising in that moment? Absolutely not. Was I bearing fruit this morning? Did I redirect where I need to put my confidence? A way to be steadfast all the way in this fight, on this race of life, till we breathe our last breath, you and I are to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Does that speak to your heart?
Oh, yes.
Does it speak to your heart? Because
yes.
even in the hard times, when you are praising the Lord, there's joy in that.
Amen.
There's joy to be found. And it's not easy, folks. It's not easy. I'm not telling you like you just go. It's a reminder daily of whom you need to be seeking, whom your focus needs to be on. And that's why the psalmist says, from the rising of the sun. That means, you know, the enemy of our soul loves nothing more than to distract you and throw something off just the very beginning of your day to divert your focus, to immediately distract us versus starting our day directed toward the Lord. From the rising of the sun to when your sun sets, you're continually directing your praise to him. And you have to have that mindset that God is in the trials of life and the blessings of life. He's there in the midst. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never. That's our That's our Savior saying, I will never leave you or forsake you. So even when you feel like you're not feeling him, even when you feel like you're in a trial by yourself, you are not.
Right.
You are not. He is there with you. And the Spirit of God is inside you to direct you. And when you're wrong, he'll convict you.
That's right.
Keep our focus on him and give him the praise he deserves. Point two, trust our Lord in all things. Trust our Lord in all things. The psalmist says, do not put your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, or in a son of man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs and returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. As Isaiah references the day of the Lord, that all that can be shaken will be shaken. In Isaiah chapter 2, in the New Living Translation, the passage is closed out with this word. And I like it in the New Living Translation. It says, don't put your trust in mere humans. They are frail as breath. What good are they? And you know James 4:14, whereas do you not know what will happen tomorrow? For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. Some of us are a vapor that's a little longer. Others, you know. The key is God is eternal, and so are his plans.
Amen.
His plans.
That's right.
His plans are working for eternal glory, folks. His ways are not our ways. All the plans of man, they could be made and all, they could have good intentions. But in the end, it all goes away. It dies. When that person dies, those plans, those good intentions are gone. You know, the rich man in Luke 16 had plans, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He looked and he said, oh, I have great wealth. Now I'll build bigger barns. And then the master came and said, you fool, your life is ended now. That man had plans, did he not? And I'm sure there are many others who have great plans that maybe aren't selfish plans. They have good intentions to help the better of mankind. Yet with them, all their dreams depart. And we need to know to trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Proverbs 3,
yes.
Right? Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with just some of your heart. No, it says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Your understanding, you can't comprehend. When you're in the middle of the mystery, when you're in the middle of the trial, you don't understand what's going on. Lean not on your own understanding. But acknowledge in all your ways, acknowledge him. I will praise the Lord regardless. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. And he shall direct your path.
Amen.
Or paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. See, that's going back to reminding you. Don't come up with your own plans. Don't be wise in your eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And as a result, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
Amen.
When you're feeling weak, there's strength that comes from inside. And that's the Spirit doing its work inside you. Trusting in the Lord is different than trusting in man or yourself, because man will let you down. It's gonna happen, folks. If your confidence is in man, they will fail you. You can think all you want about our elected officials, and there is going to be a man someday that people are going to look to set all right, and he will turn their back on them, and he will cause destruction, and his name is the Antichrist. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Will he not do it? Has he not spoken it? Will he not make it good? See, God decrees something, and there's no fault in it. He decrees something. His word goes out. It does not return void. Yet man's ways lead to destruction. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, its way is to death. I like how in the psalm he says, when that man departs and he returns to his earth, you put your trust in someone who maybe isn't directing you, saying, like, don't trust in me. You are to trust in him. God's ways, his plans, are not our ways and plans. Jeremiah 29:11, New International Version, says, instead of, for I know the thoughts, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plan to give you hope and a future. Where is your future? It's not here. I can tell you that. Our blessed hope is in our Lord Jesus to take us to a future where there is no more tears, no more sorrow, no more aches, no more pains, no more sickness. It's gone. Trust in those, for we have a blessed hope and an eternal future. An eternal future. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. I found this one very powerful. This scripture says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Makes flesh his strength. That's putting confidence in yourself or in man, right? Whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. Blinded. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Sounds like weeping and gnashing of teeth to me. But then it says, and you'll recognize this, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease yielding fruit. What does that sound like? That's the Psalm 1. That's the blessed man that puts the confidence in the law of the Lord and his instruction. The man that trusts in the flesh is like a shrub in the desert. It has nothing to draw from, only itself. You cannot rely on things of man or your own strength. It will fail you. You get older, I feel it with my back. I was playing with the kids last night. They were running, jumping. I'm like, oof, really feel that this morning. Versus the blessed man draws from a source, from a river that never runs dry. Point three, faithful is our Lord. You see, the psalmist pivots to the results of those who trust in the Lord and praise him. So you're supposed to, he acknowledges saying, I'm going to praise the Lord all my life. And now you must trust in him. And he goes into, happy is he, or blessed is he, who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made the heaven and earth, by the way, and the sea and all that is in it, who keeps truth forever. Mm-hmm. He keeps truth forever. The creator of the heavens and the universe. We spent all that last week talking about the creation. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And you shall glorify me, capital M. That is him, praising him. Do you see that? You know, I found this, I think I made a comment. I found this YouTube channel where they play these sermons side by side of pastors preaching passages, the same passage together. One is exalting and pointing to the Lord, and the other is self-exalting and lifting just the body itself up, like pointing to yourself rather than the Lord. It's amazing. Just seeing the shift, the apostasy that's out there. We are talking about the God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in it. Do you think that your problems and trials are too great for him? The truth is, we need to know that he is faithful and trust, not in our own strength and not in our own flesh. And I know that is easier said than done. I think about the God of Jacob, and I think about in Genesis 32, where we read about Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord. And I think about the blessed man who's drawing from the source. And what did Jacob do when he was wrestling? He clung. He clung to the angel of the Lord and said, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. He understood the source to which he must cling to. I'm telling you, you got to get this in your heart, because there's a day coming, folks. The trials of life will come, whether it's persecution from the world that's extreme, or just in the little trials you have right now. You cling to the source of the Lord God. Amen. None other.
That's right.
I will not let you go until you bless me. Are you there, folks? Are you there? Can you see that? You got to cling to the Lord. Amen. Cling tightly to him. And that blessing won't be for you. It will be for his glory and for his kingdom.
Amen.
You're just the instrument he's going to use for it. His truth is forever. His words are forever. Psalm 100, verse 1 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That's what we did. We came into his presence this morning singing to him. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Enter into his courts with praise. There it is again, praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. It's forever, folks. Our hope alone is in the Lord, the creator of all, because our hope and faith is in him alone. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Amen.
He's faithful. He is faithful. Say, he is faithful.
He is faithful.
So what does the Lord do? Let's uncover this a little bit more. What does the Lord do for those who hold fast to our hope and seek our trust in the Lord? Because when we are weak, folks, then he is strong. When we lower ourselves there. And what does he do? It says, verse 7, who executes justice for the oppressed. See, Christians experience persecution. Correct, and it's only going to intensify. But our God is a just God. Psalm 7:11 says, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. He's wicked. He is angry with the wicked and what they do. But he's faithful, and he wishes that they would come to repentance.
Right.
1 Peter 4:5 says, for they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. You remember that? About God, the righteous judge. Revelation 20:11 through 12, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. That's where you and I are at. We are in the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Our God is the righteous judge. It is he who will get the vengeance. We need to remember that whether justice happens today is not our concern. We appeal to him, and in the end, all will be corrected and rectified by God, the righteous judge.
That's right.
Amen. You just got to commit it to him.
That's right.
You can't. You're allowed to ask, and you're allowed to petition. The voice of martyrs, you hear a lot of the people, the persecuted church, they say don't pray for the persecution. Just pray that we're steadfast and that it keeps, the word keeps going out, because the more persecution, the more the kingdom adds. That's like totally opposite of me, right? So he executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. Our God knows the needs that you have. He will provide for you. Matthew 6:31 through 33, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know how you do that? You praise him in the morning when the sun comes up, and you praise him throughout the day till the sun comes down.
Right.
We are talking, listen, we are talking about the God who fed 5,000 from two fish and five loaves of bread. We are also talking about the God who directed Elijah and gave him birds to feed, then sent him to go to the widow who had nothing, and then provided and filled up the oil for provision. We're also talking about the God who opened the Red Sea, sent Israel through, and then when they had no food, he rained manna down from heaven. I think he's capable.
Amen.
The Lord gives freedom to prisoners. You and I were once in bondage. We were in prison to our sin, sentenced to death and hell. But praise the Lord.
Amen.
Romans 8:22, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Ephesians 2:1-2, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience.
Amen.
You know what happens when you start praising the Lord? Do you know what happens? Paul and Silas were praising the Lord, and the foundations were shaken. The chains were loosed, and the doors were opened. They were set free from their captive because their praises were to the Lord.
Amen.
He gives freedom to the prisoners, and he opens the eyes of the blind. Verse 8, Lord opens the eyes of the blind. 2 Corinthians 3:12-18. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Are you bold about Christ? Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded, for unto this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament under the law, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses read, a veil lies on their hearts. The law prior to Christ was based on a works basis. You can't work your way back to God. It's only in Christ. It's only in Christ. See, it was just a covering. It was just a covering. And then you would go and sin, and you have to go and do more sacrifices. But Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all.
Yes.
Once and for all.
Amen.
But even to this day, when Moses read, a veil lies in their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The eyes are open. It's not by my works, but it's by his grace. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Your eyes were opened just like the blind man whom God spat in, rubbed the mud into his eyes, and then he opened and he saw the Lord. That veil that's taken away, you see Jesus in a new light.
Amen. Yes.
See, prior to the veil, people look at like Christianity and they look at coming to Christ like, oh, it's like bondage. No. There's liberty in Christ.
Amen.
Keep going in that passage, right? Therefore, since we have in chapter 4, since we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He opens the eyes of the blind. And the Lord raises those who are bowed down. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Yes, all you be submissive to one another and be clothed in humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We bow now to be raised up with him. It is not pride, but being humble, because we know we can't save ourselves. It is by grace we've been saved through faith, not of works, lest we should boast. The Lord loves the righteous. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He loves you and I, not because of our righteousness. He loves you and I because of Jesus' righteousness. You are a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. If anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ?
Amen. Amen.
Then it says, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was Christ in reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us to the word of reconciliation. Because you're a new creation, guess what else you are? An ambassador for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You're an ambassador of another place. Your country, your true home, which is in heaven. And that leads me to the next point. For the Lord watches over the strangers, the pilgrims.
Amen.
Hebrews 11:13-16. These all died in faith. Who are they talking about? The patriarchs of our faith, having not received the promises. They didn't get to see Jesus. We look back. They look forward to the promise of the coming. We look back. So he was there. But having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had been called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Jesus said, I go to be with the Father to prepare a place for you. For you.
Amen.
He's going to come back and take you back to it. 1 Peter 2:11-12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which ward against the soul. Have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation when he comes.
Yes.
Because of the fruit you're bearing. Even though we are strangers in the world, the Lord looks after those he loves. And he will protect us until he calls us home. And honestly, if your last breath is today, or if you were taken early, you're in the presence of the Lord. And he relieves the fatherless and the widow. God will wipe away every tear and sorrow. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. Those who have no father have a heavenly father who loves them. God cares for them. Christ came for all the above, folks. All the above. He fulfilled the Isaiah scripture. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah 61, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console all who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Wow. All the pain that is felt here in this life will be made right by our Lord. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. Psalm 21, 7 through 13 says, "For the king trusts in the Lord. Little king, trust in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved." Why? Because he's planted on the rock. "Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, your own strength. We will sing and praise your power." The wicked may have plans, folks, but the bottom line is, if our trust is in the Lord, we win. We win. We will be praising him forevermore. And that is the promise of verse 10. When the things seem out of control, know who is in control. God is working all for his good. That which we think for evil is something far greater than we can understand. You have to trust in him. And I want to read a different passage before we get to verse 10 of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 7 through 18. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Think about trials. "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body and the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the spirit of faith according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up our Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our King, our Lord, will reign forever," folks. Cling to that hope. It says it right there in verse 10, "The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord." Revelation 22, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its street and on the either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be no more night there. They need no lamp nor light of sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants that these things which must shortly take place." And I love this part. "Behold, I am coming quickly." He is coming again, folks. He is coming again, and it is close. It is close. So, what's the application? Let's keep praising Him. Let's keep our trust in Him, and we will be blessed as we know whom our hope and our confidence is in, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you, Father, for your word. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would be with us as we go our separate ways, that we would bring glory to your name this week, Lord. Give us opportunities to share you, Lord, our testimony of what you've done in our life to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.